The Power Off series we've been doing for a few weeks now, and I think as a couple of people have said, it's quite hard to talk on something without sounding like you're supposed to be the expert. And so I know when Sharon talked about thankfulness and Judith talked about the power of the tongue, we don't in any way stand here to be seen as the expert. And when you come to the subject of humility, then, as Ray said, it's really hard to be stand here and say, oh, yeah, I'm the most humble person. But so this is very much, as I looked at this and studied it, very much speaking to me, as I hope it will to you. So we get common sayings, don't we, about humility and being humble. That I've been humbled, sometimes we say, or made to eat humble pie. Not quite sure exactly where that came from, but you get sayings like that, or, you know, oh, keep him humble. But sometimes they have a bit of a negative connotation of it's something that, you know, yeah, not the most not the most strong or powerful thing. So the title of this morning, Power of Humility, you think, well, maybe is that really a bit of a contradiction when you're thinking about power and humility? But there's a couple of definitions that we'll look at. So the first is the quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance. And the second, the feeling or attitude that you have no special importance that makes you better than others, or a lack of pride. So that's the other way of thinking about humility, a lack of pride. I don't actually particularly like the second one, because it talks about having no special importance. Well, I believe that we all have special importance, and so that's something that we should, realise. But it's about not boasting about that special importance, and I guess that thing of not thinking of ourselves as better than others, which we'll come on to a bit later. And then a couple of quotes that I found, which I quite liked. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. True humility is intelligent self-respect, which keeps us from thinking too highly or too meanly of ourselves. It makes us modest by reminding us how far we have come short of what we can be. And I quite like that as well, that sense of not thinking of ourselves too highly, but also not thinking of ourselves too meanly. Because I think there is a danger that we can get into this false humility, can't we? That, oh no, I'm terrible, I'm no good, I'm not good at anything. But actually, as we've already said, we all have that sense of special importance. We all are gifted and have abilities in different areas. So yeah, we don't want to go too far the other way. But it is good not to be boasting about what we are or what we are able to be. But let's look at the Bible now, and there's lots. And I've got quite a lot of scripture, which I won't apologise for, but we will rush through some of it quite quickly. But there is a lot of talk in the Bible about humility. And really, there's no better place to start than the example of Jesus. And I want to mainly look at a passage in Philippians chapter 2 where Paul is writing about the example of Jesus to the people of Philippi. And so we'll read this through. Now, this is in a slightly different version maybe than you'll be used to, but it just gives us a good flavour of what it's about. So Philippians chapter 2, think about what we have in Christ, the encouragement he has brought us, the comfort of his love, our sharing in his spirit, and the mercy and kindness he has shown us. If you enjoy these blessings, then do what will make my joy complete. Agree with each other and show your love to each other. Be united in your goals and in the way you think. In whatever you do, don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. Be humble and honour others more than yourselves. Don't be interested only in your own way of life, but care about the lives of others too. And we'll come back to those two verses that are quite key. And then Paul goes on to give this example. In your life together, think the way Christ Jesus thought. He was like God in every way, but he did not think that being equal with God was something to use for his own benefit. Instead, he gave up everything, even his place with God. He accepted the role of a servant, appearing in human form. During his life as a man, he humbled himself by being fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death on a cross. So God raised him up to the most important place and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. God did this so that every person will bow down to honor the name of Jesus. Everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will bow. They will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, and this will bring glory to God the Father. So Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, encouraging them to be like Jesus. And I suggest that he also would write that to us today here at Gather. First point I just want to raise is that, going back to verse 5 actually, is that humility is a decision. I don't think it's humility, it's like, oh, well, I was born humble, but you weren't. It's not one of those things that either you have it or you don't. I think it's a decision that we choose. And in verse 5, it talks about having the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Not just a feeling, but it's the way that he thought. He wasn't claiming his position. It talks about that he didn't hold on to the position that he was given. And Jesus had every right to have that position. Well, he was in that position with God, but yet he didn't hold on to it. He didn't hold on to that entitlement or that privilege. And it was something quite striking. Sharon mentioned it a couple of weeks ago that, if we have that attitude of entitlement or privilege, it takes away from us. It makes us not thankful in the context that she was talking about. But again, being humble, if we have this sense of entitlement or privilege, whether that be through our age or our status or our social class or even our experience as a Christian, that's not a good thing. And it's very difficult to be humble if we hold on to that. And Jesus demonstrated that he didn't hold on to his position, but he chose to come to this earth. And then in verse 7, it talks about him giving up everything. It was a choice that he made to make himself nothing and to take the nature of a servant. Took a position lower than the position that he had. Jesus, God himself, coming from heaven, humbled himself to be obedient to the Father. And I think we should have that same mindset too, shouldn't we? Evident in the choices that we make, in the way that we live, choosing to be humble. And Jesus demonstrated it as well in other many well-known stories. The washing of the disciples' feet, just a real classic example of Jesus taking that nature of a servant. The way that he rode into Jerusalem at the end of his life on a donkey, not on a great stallion or a big horse, but he took that decision to ride on a donkey. There was other times when people wanted to make him king, but it wasn't the right time, and he chose to withdraw from that. So in many examples, we see of Jesus being humble in his life, in the way that he acted and the choices that he made. And then in Matthew chapter 11, he invites us to join him in that lifestyle of humility. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So it's an invite of Jesus to join him in that gentle, that humble life. I think sometimes we get the sense of, oh, gentleness, that's a bit like weakness. But Jesus very clearly shows us that gentleness and humility is something of real strength that we can have in our lives. And Jesus demonstrated, didn't he, in other times of his life where although he was humble, he was also very strong in the turning over the tables at the temple. And then in contrast, we get later in Matthew 23, the Pharisees. Talking to the Pharisees, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their, however you pronounce that word, don't have them these days, phylacteries. That'd do, would it? Okay. Wide. Well, one of those is something, I think, Caroline, I'm sure.
Box. Look. 2 inches square.
There you go. So they put.
You
put it on your head or on your arm or something. Yeah. So it's all about outward appearance of the Pharisees. They love the place of honour at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. You just get this complete contrast of what Jesus was, and, you know, very humble and gentle and not wanting the focus on himself. So you get the religious people who are all about outward show and having the biggest, whatever one of those is, or the widest tassels. I don't know what the modern day equivalent was. Probably used to be the big leather bound Bible that you used to walk down the street with. Anyway, something like that. But then you get all sorts of other examples that Jesus gives in his teaching. When he talks about giving, for example, he talks about not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Or when he talks about praying, he talks about going into the quiet places, into the room and closing the door and not standing on the street corners again like the religious leaders used to do. Or when you're fasting, that you're not, you know, showing everybody that, I'm fasting, and showing how good you are. So there's lots there about our lifestyle, our choices, that what we do, being humble. I guess these days of social media is one of those things, isn't it, of how much do we put on social media to really show what we're doing. And I happened to come across, I can't remember, one of those terrible moments when you're looking at something and then you see a clip to something else. And there was this guy that was filming himself giving money to this waitress in a restaurant that he was in. And he was just talking about, you know, how rich he was. And he claimed to be a Christian. But it was just something didn't quite fit right, that he had to be there filming it, which he then put on YouTube. Anyway, and actually Jenny, so the kids are doing something on a similar line. Does the picture come up next year? Jenny found this earlier, and I think the kids, again, you know, giving a food bank parcel, or, you know, giving to your neighbours. But, oh, yeah, the most important thing is I can get a photo to put on my Instagram feed or my Facebook page. So, yeah, you get the idea that humility needs to be something that we practice, but with the right motives. Humility also involves sacrifice. Jesus not only was willing to give up his position in heaven alongside his Father, but he humbled himself, being fully obedient to God, even when it caused death on a cross. How much are we willing to sacrifice to live a humble life? It costs sometimes to be humble. And then returning to verses 3 and 4 that we read earlier, Paul exhorts us to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Comes back to that thing of motives, doesn't it? What are our motives? Motives for being humble, for the things that we do. That danger of pretending that we're better or stronger or more capable than we really are, or putting on that mask or that image to be somebody that we're not actually. So, let's make ourselves selfless and humble and not full of pride. And then also sacrifice of service. How do I treat other people? Sorry, just going back there, one, Craig. Sorry. not to be interested only in our own life, but to care about the lives of others too. It's a challenge, isn't it, in the me first culture that we live in, putting me number one, thinking about my own needs and requirements. Actually, Jesus encourages us, Paul encourages us in this passage to not only be interested in our own life, but in the lives of others too. And that's everybody, not just our friends, not just the people that we get on with. And that is a real challenge. The verse that, for those of you who have been down the garden in the shed, that verse from Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So right back in the Old Testament, it was something that we were encouraged to do, to walk humbly, and that is borne out in the way of our acting justly, loving mercy. And in 1 Peter, tells us that we need to have the same mind. Again, thinking about that, it's a choice. It's having the right mindset, but also it's about our actions. So it's not just about mindset, but it's about actions as well, being compassionate and humble. So an attitude and a choice. How we use our time, how we use our money, how we treat other people, how we use our positions of influence, all need to be with that humble motivation. Then we often talk, don't we, about an upside-down kingdom, and I think humility really does is a good example of the upside-down kingdom that Jesus brought. That, as I say, humility often seen as weakness, but actually so crucial and so powerful. All of you, close yourselves with humility towards one another. God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So you get the sense of humility, making ourselves low, but actually then it's God that raises us up. And if we go back to the Philippians passage, at the end of it, so having talked about Jesus coming from heaven to earth, serving as a servant, even to death. And then it says, if we can go to the next one, Craig, I think. Therefore, God exalted him to the most important place and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. God did this so that every person will bow down to honor him. Everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will bow, and they will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And this will bring glory to God the Father. So we see this upside-down nature that he lifted up what Jesus chose to sacrifice. He was then raised up. And I think that's a principle, isn't it? That those of us, as we humble ourselves, God will raise us up. We get it in Jesus' other teaching as well. The least will be greatest. And Jesus, again, using a great example in the next one about bringing the children, when the disciples are arguing, well, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus brings a child and says, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we get that sense of that's who the greatest are, the slave being like a slave or a child. And in other places, he talks about the first being last, and it's a very common statement that we use. It's not about the importance or our position. And then I just want to also look at humility and unity. So it's interesting, in this passage in Philippians, Paul has been talking to the Philippians in the previous chapter as well about the need, urging them to live in a way that is worthy of the gospel, standing against opposition, enduring suffering, but also being united. And he opens this chapter that we read. If you have an encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, in any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and one in mind. The real sense of unity there that he's encouraging the church to have. And how do they do that? He then goes on to the verses that we've just looked at, being humble, humble in ourselves, humble towards other people. And again, Paul reminds us in Romans 12, in a very similar vein, that unity that bring that the humility being involved in unity. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Has real resonations of not thinking of ourselves. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same functions, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. I think there's a real sense that in his picture of the body there, that right from the head to the toe, whatever function we are, whatever part we play, that serving each other, that being together. And I'm thinking, you only need to ask Ben about how much a little toe, humble little toe, that we don't think about most of the time, but actually when it causes you problems, when you're trying to run as fast as Ben does, actually it can be quite significant. And so even the most humble, is important. So each of us, whatever part we play in the body, has an important part to play. And then also Ray stole my other example that I was going to give today as well, that in leadership, humility in leadership. And we often think, don't we, of good leaders as the strong ones, and but often they're proud and they're arrogant. I'm not going to ask you to name leaders that you think show proud and arrogant type characteristics. But actually, when we think, I believe, of the best leaders, we often think of ones that are humble. And I don't know if anybody got any examples of leaders that you respect that you would say really demonstrate humility. Any examples? Okay, yep. Any others? I didn't know it. Well, we don't know much about him, but Gandhi, a leader, isn't it? But very humble. Mother Teresa, in a way, would have been. I don't know. I've seen it written. Somebody like Gareth Southgate, even. I don't know. I'm not a football expert. But he comes across as, he's not very, loud and shouty and very humble, but a strong leader. And so in leadership, humility, it's not about worldly power, is it? It's often about spiritual power. And I think as many leadership courses as you may do, I think this passage in Philippians 2 is probably a good place to start thinking about leadership. As we finish, I just want to tell you a story about what God taught me actually through this vacuum cleaner. You might be thinking, why is this vacuum cleaner? What's that got to do with humility? And it helped me, and maybe it'll help you. A few weeks ago, I was listening on an online sort of meeting, conferencing, a sermon on the power of God. And it was very good. It talked about, God's power in creation and God's power through miracles and God's power through healing, the supernatural, all very inspiring. That same morning, I had to go and do one of those glamorous parts of my job. This Hoover, based at our drop-in centre down in the town centre, somebody told me it wasn't working. So I was going down there, so I thought, okay, I'll have a little look at the vacuum cleaner, see why it's not working. Plugged it in, made a noise, was going okay, so I thought, oh. Tried to use it, didn't do anything, didn't suck anything up. So after checking the bag, which obviously is the first thing you check, that that's not full. But then pulling it apart, I discovered in all these tubes down here, completely clogged up with hair and mess, and I'm sure you've always had that experience of unblocking a Hoover. It wasn't doing its job. Cleared it all out, put it back together, switched it on, same noise, but then it was sucking up everything and cleaning the carpet as it should. God spoke to me very clearly that morning for a number of reasons. God's power is always there, but sometimes there are blockages. Maybe in my life, maybe in the lives of people around us who we'd like to see God's power working, but sometimes there are blockages and there's no breakthrough. We don't see the results that we would hope to see. And sometimes stuff needs clearing out, whether that's practical things like stuff taking up time, what our priorities are, too much stuff in our life, literally, that we need to clear out. Maybe sometimes those blockages are spiritual blockages that we need prayer for or we need to pray for. And I know certainly with some of the guys that we work with, you can see so much potential, but there just seems to be a blockage. And we have to pray that those blockages are removed. So that was one thing. The other thing, having listened to this talk earlier in the day about, you know, the supernatural and God speaking, God spoke to me simply through a simple Hoover. That and it just reminded me that in the everyday things, and we often have them here, Rita is wonderful at them, just those everyday things sometimes that God can speak to us through. Not just about going to meetings and conferences, but God can speak to us through the simple things in life if we're ready to hear. And then finally, in the context of what we've been looking at this morning, the Hoover, don't know what you'd say, but fairly humble appliance, nothing very fancy. But with God's power working through us, we can make a significant, that he can make a significant difference. In the same way as a Hoover, if it's doing its job properly, will have an impact on a dirty carpet. My hope is that we, as a humble Hoover, that with God's power working through us in the places that he puts us, that we will be able to see his impact in our lives. And the verse actually that the person was speaking on in the morning was this next verse from Ephesians 1:19. I pray that you will know how great his power is for those who have put their trust in him. It is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. This same power put Christ at God's right hand in heaven. And it's an amazing thing, isn't it? That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us, through us, available to us today. So let's look for ways to be humble this week in our dealings with each other, in our interactions with other people, whether people we live with or work with or in community. Let's seek to be humble. Many of us are in leadership positions. Maybe you think, oh, well, I'm not really in a leadership position, but I would argue that you have influence, I'm sure, in some context of your life where we can serve others. And as Ray mentioned, some people in our midst have just taken up leadership roles in their school. Again, it's an opportunity to practice that servant nature that Jesus so clearly demonstrated to us in the way that we speak, in the way that we act, in the attitudes that we have. But let's remember also that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is still at work and available to us today.